Welcome back to the First and Ten podcast. We are here with our draft previews, and we're starting with the big guns. We're starting with the boys that make all the money in the NFL. The quarterbacks, joining me, I'm Ash Ross, if you didn't know. Dave's here.
Are you right?
Good, mate. Thank you. Ash is here.
Hello, hello.
And Miles is here.
Hey.
How are we doing, boys? We're excited. It's the first draft preview. Miles has been hammering the tape the last couple
of days. He has.
So we're going to go 5-1, basically. And then we have some honorable mentions at each position as well. But to start with, then, Miles, who is your fifth ranked quarterback?
My fifth ranked quarterback is. I've already forgotten. I've just written so many notes about so many players. I'm just like, oh my God. And then we did the whole Caleb thing. And I was just like,
It was Trey Knox.
No, that's the tight end.
Oh, we're doing quarterback. Sorry. I thought we were doing tight end. I was in the wrong bit. May. It's Drake May. I've spoilt that, the anticipation on them tight end rankings.
Okay. Yeah. Drake May, my main concern with him was that he doesn't protect himself when he runs, and he likes to run a lot. And I just think Josh Allen in the league, he just doesn't protect himself, but he's so big, it's kind of fine. But Drake May does not have that build. But then I was like watching his tape, and I was like, what's the big deal here? I don't understand. And then I think I just watched his bad games, because then I watched his good games, and I was like, okay, I get it. I'm sorry. I take back everything I said 20 minutes ago. Like, he can make all these throws off platform just really, really well. He has that ability to sort of just drop it in the breadbasket downfield, 50 yards away, without, getting a nice bit of amount of air underneath the ball and stuff like that. Yeah, I think his footwork maybe needs a bit of work, but at the same time, these are the things that usually get ironed out in camp. But he does just look like the sort of player that needs a lot of work, but the things he's not great at are just so easily workable by professional coaches that I don't really have any worries about him in the league. He just seems like a really fun quarterback to have. And that's, I'm just kind of just really, really excited to watch him, because he does really silly things a lot of the time, but that he's doing that because he knows he can actually pull it off. That's just, I had a lot of fun watching him, but there are some question marks, but he's great.
I'm going to ask you all where you think these guys will end up, or where fits them best. So where would May fit best in the league, boys?
I think he's going to go to Washington at 2. A lot of the talk is that Jaden Daniels might go at 2, which means Drake May might go at 3. I think that if Drake May goes to New
England, he's going 2 or 3, isn't he? I think he's going anywhere else. I mean, he's got a very definite floor and ceiling in this draft where he's going.
Right.
I think New England, if they can get him at 3, I think that's a steal personally, because for me he's the second best quarterback in the class. But I just think that he would be able to. I just think that he's more of a consistent and probably a better cog for New England than Jaden Daniels personally. That's just my opinion. I think they're the same build, same height, but he's just a bigger build than Jaden Daniels. And I think that obviously maybe Jaden Daniels is slightly more of a fair weather quarterback in some regards. But I think Drake May would suit that franchise to a T, personally, New England. So I think that if he can land in New England, I think that's win-win for, maybe not as much for Drake May, because I don't know how good that New England offense is and how well they're doing. So, but it's definitely a win for New England, but I don't know as much if it's a win for Drake May. But yeah.
So our two New England fan hosts, does that sound good to you?
I just
don't know.
So we spoke on the free agency, but I'm just not that into many of these quarterbacks. I think there's a clear number one, and then I think a lot of all right players, and picking at number 3, I sort of want something more than that, but it just doesn't exist there this year to me. So I'm just a bit down on all of them, really, but I don't know if that's just me. Like, I think May in particular, I don't know, sometimes I watch him, I think some of his decision-making is just bizarre at times. Yeah, I think he just does some weird stuff. And like, when I said it's fun, I'd find it frustrating if he was my own quarterback. for the like for someone else, probably fun to watch.
Yeah, great to watch.
Yeah, when it's my own team, I'm a bit like, I don't know if I want that. But I think, we'll get to Daniels later, but I think I prefer May over Daniels. But
right.
I won't, like, I'm not going to come off a draft night absolutely gutted if when we take one of them. But I don't think I'll be like, oh, this is it. This is us now, you know. But I think May's good, and there's something there, you know. Like, I watch him, there's something there, but there's also like little bits where I think, God, this guy just can't make this work, and I think he's going to need to really improve. But I mean, that's what we see these players do. He's definitely got some raw skills, and he's got talent. And you know, if he ends up with the right team, then I think he can definitely be good. But my overall opinion of him, I don't love him. You know,
you want him to go at two is what you want, David.
But yeah, I don't want the other one at three either, to be honest. I just think all these quarterbacks are being a little overdrafted this year. Right. It happens every year, and we're going to see so many go early this year. We're going to see a lot of these names go at the top of the draft, and they all just feel like they're probably going a little bit ahead of where maybe their talent suggests. Just for me, anyway.
Okay, Miles, number four.
Number four is Jordan Travis. Now, there is a good explanation for this, is that I was grading these players on their college tape, not on what I think they can be. Now, I don't think Jordan Travis is going to be very good in the NFL. But he was solid in college.
Controversial pick then.
Because he was solid. Like, I can't fault him for, like, you know, what I... You know, he, you know, he, like... There are so many things he just did that were just fine. And I'm like, well, I can't really fault him there, but he's just not amazing. And he doesn't have that something about him where you know he can get better. Like, he's at his ceiling, I believe. And I think he can make a very serviceable backup in the league and blah, blah, blah. Whereas, you know, someone like Drake May, I think if they were both to start day one, Drake May probably wouldn't have as good a game as Travis, but Drake May will have a much better career. So that's sort of how I'm seeing him. And I just think that Travis, I think, you know, the injury and, you know, okay, he played with some very good receivers, and I think maybe people sort of looked at them and thought, oh, maybe he's just like it. I don't know. I just quite liked him. Like, again, none of these QBs have really leapt off the page other than Caleb, so it's really tough to say, like, oh, yeah, this guy's way better than this guy. It's more just in college, I think they did this and that looks nice. And I just think Travis, he was way more impressive than I thought. I thought I was going to watch and be like, okay. But, you know, great footwork, great mobility. He is quite accurate. He keeps really calm in the pocket, which a lot of quarterbacks that I have, you know, well, the three I have higher than him aren't as calm in the pocket. And he just does a lot of things well that I think people just haven't acknowledged, because there are other quarterbacks that are better, and he was never really the lock to be a top, probably not even a day two guy. You know, I just think he's hugely underrated, but yeah,
he's at his ceiling. Day three.
He's at his ceiling.
Quarterback, so.
I think there was a talk that he might, there has been a few rumblings that he might go ahead of Penix now. So it's one of them ones where I think there's a few teams that are actually quite high on Travis. So it's not out of the range. I think day two is probably the sweet spot for him, because I think what will happen is, I think a few of these other quarterbacks, like Dave said, will get pushed up. And then I think that some of the guys from underneath, I think that they'll also sort of reap the rewards of them other guys going high. So
yeah,
Scott Travis is definitely one to keep an eye on for sure, because there has been talk that I have heard rumblings that obviously some teams are low on Penix and then some people are high on Travis. So it looks like that there's a possibility that it wouldn't shock me, say, if he does go ahead of Penix, maybe.
Okay. Dave, any thoughts on Travis?
Yeah, I think similar to Mars, really. I think he's a decent player, but to me, he does seem like that player who's just destined to be a career backup, but that's not in a bad way. I think he's just got that sort of character, that the sort of player you probably want on your team, but maybe the talent doesn't necessarily back it up. Yeah, maybe. Like, you know, that's no, but the sort of player, you know, that you can probably come in and do a solid job, but he's not necessarily ever going to be a threat to be a starter, but you're probably not absolutely like dead if he has to come and play, you know, a couple of games, which to be honest, is a valuable thing in the
It is,
NFL.
yeah,
That's,
really
like,
is.
it's not meant as like a slag off to. I think that is a, you know, a thing that he can be, and I think he
He'll make a
feels like
lot of
that
money
sort of
doing that.
player. Yeah, I just don't ever see him being an NFL starter, to be honest. But
Yeah.
I think he can
He's
have an
fine.
NFL career anyway. He's yeah, I think he's gonna be an interesting player where he lands, but you know, injury and stuff does make it tough for him to go a bit
Yeah.
earlier.
Mars number three.
JJ McCarthy.
Okay.
He is, I just, I for someone that seems just quite ordinary with the ball in his hand, he kind of, right, and I don't really don't want to, I didn't want to make this comparison, but it was the best one to make.
It's
He's
definitely the same
like,
one I've written down, just so you
is
know.
it Brock Purdy?
Oh, it wasn't. No, it wasn't.
Oh.
Mine
Oh.
was Mac Jones.
Oh, well, we've had
They're
a lot
different
of
ends of
yeah.
scale.
We're not doing this again. We're not having that
Yeah.
conversation again. Yeah. But yeah, he just seems really sensible, which is good at times, but a lot of the time it's like push the ball downfield and he doesn't. But his ball placement is excellent. He stands quite firm in the pocket. I mean, again, he does get a bit flustered, but he does sort of, remain okay. He's mobile when he really needs to be, but he doesn't just sort of make one read and dart. And yeah, I don't know. I just think he just is quite a sensible player. Like, he maybe does need to protect himself better. Again, I think a lot of these mobile college QBs, like the competition they're playing against, once they make it to the next level, they'll take a couple of hits and then they'll be like, right, I should have been doing this a bit differently. And again, his throw on the run is really good, but he just, I don't know, he just doesn't do anything too outlandish either way. Like, he doesn't push the ball down for, he's not going to win you a game, but he won't lose you one. And I think it depends where you're at as a team in your cycle where you think he will fit in, because I think he's not really going to improve much, I don't think, but I still really like him because he just doesn't do loads wrong. He doesn't really have that cannon of an arm, but he's accurate. So he doesn't get a ton of velocity on the ball, but the ball still gets to the right spot. And yeah, it's just things like that. Like, he's, again, this class isn't as amazing as everyone thinks, but there are just got, he doesn't suck and he's better than a few of the other guys on tape. And I just, yeah, I think he's been rising quite a lot recently. And I think there's good reason behind it because I like him.
Okay, Ash,
I
what do you
think.
reckon too?
Yeah, I think that Miles touched on it. Weirdly, Miles has got the same comp player I got. I got Brock Purdy as my comp as well. So I think that he's very much a game manager. He's got quite a modest arm, but like you said, I think that in clutch situations, he has proved for Michigan that he can do it. So it would be interesting to see what sort. I think it would be for JJ Daniels and. I can't remember the other guy, Penix. I think that this is going to be very, very interesting where they land, and it's quite important for their development. So I think that we saw that in some regards with like Jared Goff when obviously when Fisher was there and it was just total carnage. And then obviously since and very much and then since obviously McVay's been there, it's been well, it was a lot better. And then obviously he went and got on with Ben Johnson now as their OC over in Detroit. And then the same again with like Trevor Lawrence, where obviously when he got drafted and can't, off the top of my name, can't remember who was the coach there 2 years ago. It was Urban Meyer was there. It
Urban
was
Meyer,
absolutely carnage, wasn't it? So yeah, and but now obviously it's a little far more settled with him, and maybe he can kick on. So I think it's going to be it's quite important, I think, for some of these QBs where they land in regards to how well they're going to do in the NFL. But I think that he's very much a game manager, and he can fall to the right spot. I think that a few people would probably be looking at someone like maybe going to the New York Giants, someone like that, where Dabble be in there. That might be quite a nice spot for a couple of these guys, where they can maybe sit for the year under Jones and then push on next year. I think that might be got quite a good spot for him. But there's talk that he could go as high as five. Obviously, Chargers won't be taking him, but it could be that the Vikings might be interested. So, yeah. He's a good prospect, but I think, like Dave mentioned, I think that some of these quarterbacks are probably going to be overdrafted.
Maybe you didn't see Purdy, you see Mac Jones.
When I say Mac Jones, I mean as in, like, it's not necessarily in style. I meant as in, when Mac Jones came out, my big issue with him was that I just didn't see the upside with him. Yeah. I think he's a player that can come in, be good. He's like, he's just not going to be, he's not going to win you games necessarily. And like, I just, for me, I just don't like them players ever. And in any year, I just never have them players rated highly because they're not getting drafted so high. And I just don't think you can ever win a Super Bowl with a player like him, to be honest. And that's my issue. Like, if I'm drafting him at, like, what's his floor this year? It's probably going to be, what, like, if the Vikings stick and just pick him at 11 or whatever they are.
Yeah,
like,
PFF got him in the latest mock with some trades. He's going 11 to the Commanders. So.
Yeah, like, it's... I just hate him at that spot. In the same way I hated Mac Jones there, what, three years ago, whenever it was. And it's not because I think he's a bad player. I think he's sort of decent at everything. He sort of does everything all right. He's just not great at any of it. You know, he's good everywhere. Yeah. Just doesn't really excel at anything in particular. And so it's not that he's a bad quarterback. It's just that I just think he really limits what your team can do in the next 3-4 years if he's your quarterback. And you're just going to be looking again in that time to probably replace him. And yeah, I just don't like drafting these quarterbacks, to be honest, at this sort of position, you know. If you're getting him in the second round with a bit of chance for him to develop, and, you know, maybe he hasn't just, you know, the Michigan offense wasn't exactly sort of like expansive, you know. They didn't give him loads to do there. He was sort of potentially held back a little bit. I don't think it's really going to like open up for him in the NFL and he's going to be something incredible. But, you know, you could make the case that, you know, they sort of limited what he had to do. I don't know. I just don't see him ever being anything more than, you know, like the 22nd best quarterback in the league, which is fine. But like, I mean, what's that really doing for you? Like,
you're not winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's my issue with him. It's not that I think he's bad. I just think he can never be great.
Yeah.
Fair enough. There you go. Miles, number two.
Number two is Daniels.
Okay.
And I actually came to this conclusion begrudgingly. Because he kind of just like, right, I would draft Drake May over the other two I put above him, but Daniels is just, his tape was just solid. Like, it was just like, I think I really, really do have a soft spot for rushing quarterbacks. Like, I just love watching QBs take off and pick up a first down. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, he is a very good runner as well. It's not like he's quit. It's like he protects himself. He can actually, you know, fake a defender out. He doesn't just run into some space. He'll take a more sensible route and get a few more yards and blah, blah, blah. Like, he is a very good running QB. And he also doesn't just make a read and then run. He actually really does go through his progressions quite well. And that's what I really like to see with mobile QBs, is not them just think, right, not going to throw it there, I'm going to run. Like, he actually does think about it, and as a result, his throw on the run is really, really good. But he does have a tendency to make off-platform throws when he doesn't need to. Like, he'll be in the pocket and then he'll just flush himself out the pocket for no reason and throw on the run when he can just stay there and make the same throw. And I think you do that at the next level, you're going to get sacked a lot.
Yes,
and that's kind of what I've just sort of, that was one of my main gripes. The other was, there are some really bad throws on tape, like some really, really bad throws that are just frustratingly bad, because you're like, well, he was wide open, standing still, and you've missed him. And it's like, but then you know he can drop it right on you 60 yards away. And it's like, I don't understand. Like, that's what's frustrating, is because you know he can do better than what he has shown a lot. But it's, I don't know, there is just, he is, again, he's a lot of fun to watch. But again, I would rather have Drake May, but he is just like, his tape was just like electrifying, really. Like, it was really, really entertaining. And he is clearly a very good player. Age 23 puts a lot of people off. But I think he's accurate. He does have a tendency to step into pressure when stepping up in the pocket. I think he's almost too quick. But yeah, he's just great, great to watch, great runner. But yeah, there are a lot of questions about his actual throwing ability because it's a bit too inconsistent. But again, it's like one of those raw mobile QBs where sort of everything is sort of there and you could work him into something. But
Okay.
I think the ceiling isn't as high as I think May has a higher ceiling out of everyone in the list so far.
Fair enough. Dave, you spent your NFL watching non-mobile quarterbacks play for your team. Would you be happy with a raw runner as a QB?
It's really tough because I think that he really needs to develop to, have any real chance of being any good. But
Yeah.
I get why someone would fall in love with him. He's a real. I find him hard. Again, it's one of them. If he was being drafted back end of the first, top of the second, I
Yeah.
think, oh, great. Like, we've got a player here who can maybe sort of give a chance to develop. Like, going at two, maybe three,
Yeah. You got a hit, haven't you?
it's expensive.
Yeah.
I think, say, I get why someone would fall in love with him, but it's not like it's a perfect comparison of him. But Justin Fields, you watch him and
Yeah.
where he just doesn't have the passing in there consistently enough,
Yeah.
there's just a real limit to what he can be. And at times he's incredible and he can win games of his own and it could be absolutely electric to watch. But is that consistently going to win for you? Are you gonna win lots of games with that? I just don't know. And I just don't know whether Daniels can be a consistent winner in the NFL without sort of a lot of developing. It's more the price than anything because
Yeah.
there's something there. He's a talented player who has a lot about him, but I don't love the price.
Fair
Which
enough. I actually reckon.
is sort of how I feel about every quarterback, basically,
Because you know we're going to pay it. That's the
other than the number one, I sort of think
thing.
I sort of like them, but where they're going is about around a
If
whole
we were
round
picking
higher.
at 30, you'd be like, oh, it's fine. They're good. I like them. But
Yeah,
not because you're
exactly.
scared.
Yeah,
You're
that is
scared we're going
exactly
to
it.
do
Yeah,
it.
like that is definitely
You reckon too much?
Yeah, I think the boys touched on most of it with Daniels. He's my three. And I think that I'd be slightly worried, if I'm honest, if he goes to New England. I don't think he's ready to start. But at three, sometimes you think that they get pushed into situations they're not quite ready for. I think that he'd
Yeah.
definitely be better off sitting for a year. I know his age doesn't really sh think that that would be wise, but I think that one thing I think New England would be, there was one thing I heard about New England, which would be quite a sensible option for them if they wanted to do such a thing, is get Jacoby Brissett in, because I think they're very similar players. So I think that that would be something to do if you're going to try and build an offense around. Maybe you could build it around Jacoby for this year, and you wouldn't really have to change much for the following year if you put Jaden Daniels in. So something like that would be a pretty sensible option, I think. Maybe New England get Jacoby Brissett back. He knows obviously the franchise, get him on a veteran deal, 1 year deal, or something like that, and then draft Daniels at three, and then you haven't really got to put him in, and then you can always use Brissett as sort of the opt out, sort of similar to maybe like what Tyrod Taylor did it was when he was at the Chargers as well. So I
Yeah.
think that might be something to look at. But yeah, Daniels, I think that there's talk that he's going to go at two, and a lot of people are quite strongly shouting from the rooftops that he's going to be Washington's pick. It wouldn't be my pick. I think that Drake May would be my pick there, but if he does go to Washington, I think that that's a better landing spot for Daniels for sure, just because of the weapons that they've got. So, yeah, I think that the boys covered what he's good at, what he's bad at, but yeah, he's going to be an interesting pro to see how he develops over the coming season.
Okay. Miles, I think we can all guess who's number one, but who's your number one quarterback?
Spencer, no, it's Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams. Funnily enough, Spencer Rattler would have been my number one 2 years ago, had everything panned out how it was supposed to. But yeah, it didn't. And then Caleb replaced him. But yeah. yeah, I was obviously struggling at first to find flaws in his film because
Yeah.
it's again, it's ridiculous. But then you see it and you're like, well, actually, that. Like he knows he's really good, so he kind of I think gets a bit complacent and a bit
Right.
showboaty, and like with his crossbody throws and all this, and like you know waiting until he's about to touch the sideline before leaping in the air and throwing it downfield and stuff like that. But it's fun to watch, but I do think he will you know, be a bit more disciplined when he's in the league, but he just doesn't need to wind up a throw or step into it to generate power. Like, he just flicks his arm and it ends up downfield. And weirdly enough, one of the overthrows he had that really stood out against Colorado was a throw he actually properly stepped into. So yeah, he's almost too strong for his own good there. But yeah, he's a mobile quarterback as well when he wants to be. There's just, he had this game against Washington where he actually spun out a defender and then carried on downfield, and it's all too easy for him. Honestly, it looks like he's not even trying half the time, and I just love watching him. Like, it's just like, yeah, it's just really, really fun. I think, yeah, he just needs to just rein it in a bit with the sort of flashy plays, because it looks Mahomes-esque in college football, but will it translate to the NFL? Because Mahomes started doing that in the NFL. He didn't really do that much in college, whereas Caleb's already doing it. So yeah, you want him to be a bit more sensible, but honestly, he's just, yeah, again, extends every play, gives every player a chance to get downfield, everything like that. I get a lot of bad drops on tape from his receiver. Like, he could probably have a few hundred more yards and stuff like that. Like, he's just, yeah.
Well, luckily he's going to Chicago where the receivers are fantastic. Yeah. So he's got problems there.
Well, Cole Kmet, you know. But,
yeah. Dave, you got any worries about his not doing anything before the draft? He's basically said, take me or leave me. This is what I am. I'm not going to do anything for you before the draft.
Honestly, if I was in the position of his, like, what is there to gain? Like, there's absolutely no reason to do anything. Yeah. You know, like, he's going to be the number one pick. Like, all that can happen is he does something and, like, jeopardize that. He's not going to drop for not throwing. All they're going to do is just use the stuff. So, like, truth, if I was a player, I would definitely be having a hamstring injury just before the combine. Go and do the interviews and just do none of the testing. Because there's just, I just don't think, like, unless you're some athletic freak, I'm just not sure the combine and stuff is ever worth really doing. Because I'm not sure how many people we've really seen over the years drop from not testing, but we've seen a lot drop from actually testing and showing up a bit slow or, you know. I don't know. Yeah. So yeah, I'm more than fine with him not doing that. You know, he's got enough on tape and stuff, but what is him throwing at the combine or a pro day really going to do for anyone? I mean, everyone knows he's going one, really, don't they? I don't think there's any real doubt about that. So what is the point? Like, so yeah, I'm fine with it, I've got no issue with it. I don't think any team really would, to be honest. I'm sure if they really needed to, he'd have like a private workout or something, but I don't think it's really needed, is it? You know, I think we know, everyone knows what's happening in the draft and where he's going to end up.
Consensus top one pick. Ash, is he locked in?
Yeah, 100%. Like, a few people were saying a while ago that the Chicago Bears might trade this pick, and there's still talk that some people that they might trade this pick for a haul and keep Fields. But it feels like
he knows his time's done in there.
I just don't see what they're gaining by doing that, because all you're doing is you're getting loads of other players to surround yourself, but you're still missing the most important piece. That's like saying, like, oh, just because you've got the number one pick, you're just going to get rid of players like Mahomes. Like, it's stupid. Like, there's a chance. Like, for me, his comparable is Dak Light. So I've kind of got him as a mixture of kind of like Dak Prescott, which, I mean, for the Bears to have someone, I mean, I don't think they've had a player throw over 3,000 yards since, like, Jay Cutler. So, like, we're talking a long, 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 long time now. The Bears have been, like, just not with it at QB. So I don't understand why you would pass the opportunity up to draft what most people think is the consensus best QB, like, or one of the top ranked QBs in college over the last, I don't know, 10 years, like, along with like Lawrence and Burrow. Like, that's the kind of echelons that we're talking about here, like, in regards to what we think he is and what he thinks he could be because of what the seasons he's had at USC and Oklahoma. So, like, I just don't understand why the Chicago Bears would pass that up to just say, oh yeah, we're gonna have another season of Justin Fields and have loads of money for what and have loads of guards and tackles and wide receivers that Fields couldn't throw the ball to anyway. So it's just bizarre. It's just a bizarre thing that they're trying to... I think it's just because there is no interest in Fields. They're trying to drive up interest maybe in the number one pick. But I think in the end, when it all is said and done, it will be Caleb Williams at one, and then Fields will be... I think he'll be traded after the draft, personally. But hold me to that. Just because I think that there's just no... There's no real movement at the moment. And I think that teams, because there's a few QBs as well in the draft, like we've got Bo Nix and Penix that we haven't talked about yet. Like there's still these other QBs that could get drafted. And I think it would just kind of be like, well, who's left? And then they're the team that will give Chicago a third or whatever needs to be done just to get a QB in the door. I think that might be how the field scenario plays out.
Yeah, fair enough. Any honourable mentions, boys? I'd like to hear about Michael Penix Jr. because he was an interesting name for me. I saw it got linked with Seals, but that might just be because of the Washington State links. But is he going to be a good NFL quarterback? He's got some bad injuries from what I've heard.
He throws a lovely deep ball, to be fair. Like I don't think he's a bad player. I don't think he's a bad player at all. Like I think that... I think he'll be just fine if some team drafts him. But again, I think it's going to be so important for some of these players, how they develop in regards to where they go. Like,
yeah,
I mean, if Penix falls to Minnesota, like, or goes to Minnesota, like if you've got Justin Jefferson to throw to, you've got Hawk, you've got like,
Addison,
and you've got Addison, like that is such a good stepping stone to kick on with as a QB and sort of have confidence in like where the receivers are going to be and everything like that. And the coach as well, like that's a great landing spot. So if Penix falls there, like great. Like, but if he doesn't and he falls to somewhere like, I don't know, like off the top of my head, not having a dig at New England, but if he fell to somewhere like that, like you are a bit wary of like, who's he throwing to here? Like what's going on? Like, it would just worry me like a little bit with how his development's going to be. So yeah, it's you really did see it with Bryce Young this year. Like they've gone out, they traded the world for him. They got rid of DJ Moore, which was a stupid decision to do. And then you've got one of the worst defensive lines ever. And now Bryce Young just looks like Sam Darnold. So you need to be prepared to where some of these QBs land. In regards to what they are. But I don't think Penix would be a bad option like if for any team that are picking sort of like that late. Maybe even if it's like someone like Seattle wanted to like just stick him on and see after what Geno does this year. And if it's not good, you move on to... Because with Metcalf there and with Jackson Smith and Jigba there, you've got a run game. It's not the worst landing spot in the world for someone like Penix.
Okay. Any other honorable mentions, boys?
There's just a lot of sort of decent quarterbacks, you know, Bo Nix, decent. Like, I think he could be all right. You know, Rattler can be good. I just don't know how many of them are ever going to be starters, really, you know, long term. I don't know. I just feel a bit down on this class overall. You know, like, there's a lot of people seem quite high on it, but to me, it's just not... It's lacking in real talent. I think I said it earlier, like, every quarterback feels that they're going to go like a round higher than where they should and where I feel comfortable taking them. So it's hard for me not to feel bad about him. Like Rattler, like he's got some upside and he can be good, but where's he going to go? Like,
I mean, he was the consensus number one pick a couple of years ago. Like it was, you know, it's things do change so quickly, but I like that. I really do like Rattler, but
I sort of want to like him. You know, he's one of the only players I want to like him, but I just struggle with it where... I don't know. Yeah, he's good. He can be. I think out of like the next level of like where they're going to be drafted, I think Rattler is the one. Yeah, he could be the one who, you know, if someone's going to come out of like the third round, say, and all of a sudden he's taken off and become a starter, it probably is Rattler, I would guess. But
yeah,
I'm not sure. I would sort of bank on it. You know, I think he's got more upside than anyone around there. So he would be my favorite of those players.
Okay. Anyone else, Ash, you want to mention?
I think that's most of them, to be honest. I think, like you said, the one to keep an eye on is Travis, just as he's not been getting too much buzz because obviously with that injury, but there has been talks that he might get pushed up higher than people maybe think in the draft. But I think that how it'll go pretty much is how we've kind of nailed it on with the Daniels and May and Caleb would be the top three, and then it could be anyone's game within them. And I think it would kind of be like some of them play some of them teams that are now QB needy, like Minnesota. Now we touched on that Kirk's not there and stuff like that. So there will be someone. The Raiders, are they in for Fields? Are they not? Are they going to look up to move up? You've obviously got Denver, which you've got a big hole in. So there's a few teams that might be looking to get some of these QBs in, and it's not a bad class. It's not horrendous at all. Like it's, and I think a few you'll see a few of these be established starters in the league. I really do believe that.
Okay, lovely. Shall we move on to the tight end position?
Who's going to be number five?
this is a brutal list.
Yeah,
reckon?
This is not a lot. Like it's not. Last year was so much fun. Last year
was good. This is the opposite. Amazing. Isn't it?
And this
so I'm
is just
looking at PFF. They've got one guy ranked at five, and then the next guy. Hang on, scrolling.
Sanders, 40, probably, I guess.
40 is the next one.
And
that
he's not
high
even
as
good.
Well.
And
yeah,
he's not
109
even good.
After that.
He reminds me of Brevin Jordan, who they're talking about. And he he's not good at all. Jadavion Sanders, for me, like he's not.
Yeah, this is brutal this year. This was a tough position. This one.
It's with you five. Who's number five?
It's Trey Knox, and the thing is with this list is that I was just like I'm just gonna watch whichever tight end. I literally spun a wheel and picked a tight end to watch.
You could pretty much do that though, to be fair, with these guys, to be honest.
And so I did that with seven tight ends, and I have some of them are literally so obscure that they don't really have enough tape on them, but there is, some things I liked about Trey. I literally am already running out of words to talk about Trey Knox because there's that little to say about him.
He's 6'5" and 237 pounds.
And played in the SEC, which is always a plus. So, and, 22 years old when he declared. And, he was fine. Again, tight ends don't need to be amazing at anything.
Yeah.
But the ones that are the ones that get drafted high, But he's like, if you're a solid blocker and you can catch, like, you need three receptions for 30 yards. That's what you need to be an okay tight end. And, he seems like the sort of person that could do that. And that's sort of it with him. That's sort of the end of me talking about him. Yeah.
Dave, have your thoughts on Trey Knox?
I don't really know much about Knox at all. Yeah. He's not one that I've scouted so far. It is a very, very bleak sort of wide a tight end class, to be honest, other than the top guy. There's a few guys that I've scouted that are okay, but there's nothing that really stands out. And Knox, I haven't scouted him as such of yet.
Okay.
Basically the same. It's just this position overall.
It's hard.
We will see random players down the end probably come in and sort of do all right and make a career because. I mean, if you look at the tight ends now, if you listed the best 30 tight ends, some of them we'd be talking about some of these players who we haven't heard of now coming out of college because it's just such a weird position, and I think tight ends can be used a bit weird in college as well and stuff, and they get to the league and do something slightly different and look a lot better, and I don't know, it's just such a weird position to project because as we've seen recently, even the best tight ends in college just don't necessarily translate either. It's just a
Michael Mayer last year was fine. Like everyone was, and then he was okay. And then Tucker Kraft was amazing. Green Bay, Tucker Kraft was the second tight end they drafted, and he was really good. And it's like what? And then you got what's his name, Brenton Strange in Jacksonville, drafted in the second round. He had nothing. And so it just doesn't make any sense. They just make it up as they go along. I think, I've never understood tight ends in the NFL, and I never will. I just watch the tape and think, oh, he could do all right.
With that in mind, who's your number four?
Theo Johnson, and he's actually quite interesting because he's a bit of an athletic freak. So, and it kind of shows up on tape. So, funny enough, I just mentioned Brenton Strange. He came in to Brenton Strange's starting spot at Penn State and sort of did quite well there. But again, a sort of check down option with some rack ability because he's quite big and fast and hard to take down. But again, there's just not a ton of him doing a ton. Like, loads of his tape is in blocking, which is great. But that's not the fun stuff we want to see. We want to see people getting gronky, but no one really does that other than the guy that we have at number one. So, yeah.
Okay. Fair enough, Dave.
Yeah, I quite like Johnson. I think, you know, in as much as I like, you know, this group, you know, like out of these, I quite like him, but I don't think he's great. But like, I think he's someone that could be good. I think he's got sort of a chance to be a bit better. I'm really struggling with these tight ends. Like, I'm really struggling to be bothered about watching them that much. So I have watched a bit of him, but in a bad bunch, I sort of like, he sort of stands out a little bit, but I don't know, he's all right. I don't think anyone's gonna be excited that they've drafted him, I'll put it that way, but you know, he'll be all right.
Fair enough.
That's all I'm gonna say about him, really, which is not very good analysis, is it? But he'll be all right.
Yeah.
Cool. Number three.
Cade Stover. Okay, I actually watched loads of tape on Cade Stover, and I was like trying to get excited but couldn't. But there was, for whatever reason, just loads and loads of film available. So I was just watching and watching and watching and thinking, oh, maybe it'll get good.
Yes.
And it doesn't. But it's not bad. It's just like, he's such an ordinary tight end. Like, he's a very average route runner. He almost quits on some of his routes, which is kind of disappointing. But that's a lot of person to lug upfield, so I get it. But he is just a fantastic run blocker, which, again, isn't that exciting, but it's kind of fun because I like when teams run the ball. So maybe a run-heavy team drafts him or something like that. He's got very strong hands. Like, he'll catch the ball whilst being absolutely obliterated by a defender, and he just snags and keeps going. So, yeah, he isn't really that quick because of his size, but which means he doesn't really get separation, but he does box out defenders with his body quite well. So, yeah, and that probably owed to his blocking ability. So, yeah, Cade Stover, Ohio State, I like him. He seems okay, and that's why he's at number three.
Ash, any thoughts on Cade Stover?
Yeah, I think he could be a potential one to keep an eye on in for fantasy purposes. I think that obviously landing spot gain is quite important for some of these guys, but he does remind me a little bit of Jake Ferguson when he came out. So that could be a possibility that he could reach them sort of echelons in regards to what he could be as a player. So yeah, like, I think that that is a possibility, not saying he will be, but that's the kind of, like, he's got the frame for it, and he's pretty savvy, can find space a little bit. So he's definitely one to keep an eye on, I would say, for sure.
Yeah, I actually do sort of like him. I sort of tend to have a bit of a soft spot for these players that have sort of switched position a bit, or, you know, played other positions and then he sort of moved to tight end. I sort of always have a soft spot because I feel like they can grow, you know, I feel like they've got room for improvement. So I always sort of have a little bit of a soft spot for them sort of players, and he is one of those. And yeah, there's something there. I think he's a decent player. I think he can be good. Yeah, he does need to improve quite a lot to do that. But, you know, for his size, he's not bad a mover. You know, he's not, as Miles said, he's a bit slow, but he's not, he moves okay. You know, he's fairly explosive, but he's, just once he actually gets going, he's not, you know, he's not going to run away from anyone, really, is he? But, you know, I think he could be a good around player that definitely has room to improve, which maybe, you know, just for the upside alone, puts him above some of these other people for me.
Okay. Number two, Moss.
Austin Stogner.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me scroll. Hang on. Give me a minute.
He was really good. And then I found out that he's actually not that good, but he's just so much fun to watch that I'm like, well, he must be good. And I'm like, I don't really know. I'm like, I'm really struggling to figure these guys out. And I'm like, is he good? Is he not? I decided he was good because he's fun to watch, even though what I'm watching doesn't fill me with confidence if the Patriots were to draft him, if that makes sense. I don't know if that makes any sense, but he's just kind of like, I don't know, like, again, good run blocker, not a good pass blocker, but not being a good pass blocker is good for fantasy, which is exciting for me.
Yeah.
Very reliable hands, but he tracks a deep ball really well. Which again is quite good because that's kind of what you want from a tight end playing in the vertical game and stuff like that. But yeah, I my main conclusion with him is he probably won't amount to much, but the tape is fun to watch. So
I was
yeah,
going to say,
that's
because I can't find him on PFF's draft at all. He's going
yeah.
undrafted, according to him.
So yeah, he's just kind of like a. I just think he's actually not going to be very good in the NFL, but he was just so much fun to watch because he kept getting targeted downfield and all of that. So I was like, yeah, hey, let's throw him in here. And realistically, who knows? Because we don't know the tight end position. He might be the best tight end we've ever seen, you know? So
Fair
yeah.
enough, yeah.
And also, it speeds us up talking about number one.
It does.
Yeah.
Who's number one?
Brock Bowers.
Shocker.
Right. Now we can finally talk about Brock Bowers. I've been wanting to talk about Brock Bowers this entire time.
Go.
He is very, very, very fast. Like, it's weird. And he shouldn't be that fast for a tight end. He just shouldn't. It's abnormal. I mean, he is relatively slender in some ways for a tight end, but he doesn't play that way. Like, he just has great contact balance. He's almost impossible to bring down with one person. Like, usually has to get gang tackled.
Okay.
He's got great hands, great body control on the sideline. Like, he can snag those sideline balls like a wide receiver. Yeah, he is just, you know, and there have been Georgia used him in the run game a few times, like on end arounds and stuff like that, which again isn't really that normal for a tight end,
No,
but
not
he
at all.
makes it work and it is just he's fantastic to watch. Weirdly enough, he doesn't actually box players out that well with his frame, but he doesn't really need to because he just runs past them and gets open and lays out in front and catches it. And yeah, he uses finesse to win rather than brute strength because he's so quick and so agile. But then he is actually still a good blocker. There are other blockers that are better in the draft, but he is solid as a blocker. But as a receiver, he's just ridiculous. As a running back, he's also serviceable. So yeah, he's just going to be some fun, stupid weapon for everyone to mess around with. And yeah, it's going to be exciting to watch.
He seems to have a wild floor and ceiling in the first round. I've seen some. I'm looking at a couple of mocks here. One's got him going 5 to the Chargers. Another one's got him going 18 to the Bengals. Both pretty good landing spots, I'll be honest.
I don't think he makes it to 18.
No.
The Bengals will be a dream, but yeah, I don't think he's getting there.
He's not making it that far.
Would you be happy with him at 5, Ash?
I think, to regards to the market, I think it'll be a slight overpay just because of what you can get prices of tight ends out of that market, and I think it would work out at sort of like 13, 14 million a year or something like that. So it's not really what I would want to be paying as such. I mean, he's the best tight end I've ever scouted, so I think he's going to be electric. And I'm not saying that's a wasted pick at 5 because he will be a very good player, but just with how the NFL is. You would normally find it that if as long as you're a sensible GM, I think we've got one of those now, that you will pick players at the sort of premium positions where it costs a lot of money in free agency to acquire them. So personally,
Joel.
it's, yeah, Joe Alt would be probably is probably. I mean, at the moment, the way they're going, the Chargers, it looks like they're going to be wanting to sort of lock in the O-line, D-line position. So it wouldn't shock me if they go with them sort of if they go with a tackle over someone like Bowers anyway, but it is a possibility. Like, if I'm honest, I could probably see Bow they would take Bowers over a wide receiver. Like, it wouldn't shock me if that happened, but I just
Yeah.
really do think that offensive line is it. But yeah, I mean, Bowers is electric. I think probably Miles is right. I think maybe his floor is maybe like 8 to Chicago. I think that could be something like that would be pretty good for them. Obviously they've got Kmet, but I think he's a
Yes,
different player
he's
than
different.
Kmet.
Yeah,
He's
yeah.
just electric in all ways, yards after catch and everything. So yeah, it wouldn't shock me if he goes pretty. He's definitely a top 10 player in this draft for sure.
So the Bears will come out of this draft with some picks or whatever for Justin Fields, the number one quarterback and the number one tight end.
It'll be a good start, put it that way,
It's
if
not
that
bad.
happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dave, what do you think to Bowers?
I love Bowers. I think he's incredible.
Yeah.
I love a good tight end. And I always get so disappointed when they get to the NFL and then, they're all right. They're not anything special. But yeah, I think if he does fall a bit, it'll probably be because, some of these other the quarterbacks got a bit overdrafted, and
Yeah.
we're seeing an extra quarterback going maybe that we didn't see going. If he is going to drop, but I don't really see it. I don't know where he goes, because I think he's going to be someone that, you know, if someone trades out and trades down a little bit, maybe they'll pick him up a few places later. So I think he's going to be one of them sort of players that, you know, he might not necessarily go as high as where I have him ranked just among this class. But, I mean, I can't see him fall out of the top 10, really.
No, there's
teams but he shouldn't anyway.
Yeah,
if he does, then I think it's just because some of the other positions have just sort of people have come up and got someone and he's fallen because of that. But someone's probably going to get a steal if they get him a bit further down. But yeah, I think he's incredible. As I say, tight end is always the position where I just fall in love with a player, and Brock Bowers, I'd really, really want him to go somewhere good and really do well in the league. I'll be so sad if we get another tight end that flops in the league. I can't see it happening with him, but tight end's such a bad position for it that I'd be so sad. I love him.
So considering we struggled to make five, have we got any honorable mentions?
Eric Hall.
Yeah, keep an eye on Eric. He's my sleeper as well. It's injuries that is the thing for Eric Hall. He's had horrendous injuries, but he's definitely one to keep an eye on. Obviously, IRO have got a good record at bringing tight ends out. So it's just his injuries have been horrendous. And another one that's half decent is Ben Sinnott from Kansas State. He really reminds me of Tyler Conklin. Like I said, he's not going to be amazing, but it's not a bad, say, if you're looking for fifth round picks and you've got tight end premiums and you want sort of like a cover guy, it might be the name to keep an eye on.
We mentioned him already, but Jatavion Sanders, and it's not because I like him, it's because for some reason he keeps getting sort of mocked like fairly high, like second round. I don't get it. I just don't really understand like why that would happen, but I mean, he should probably get mentioned just because. It seems to be like for a lot of people, like the second ranked tight end, and I don't know, it's just bizarre to me. But we should mention that. But yeah, we sort of mentioned him a bit at the start. But yeah, it was only just to throw the name out that I think he's rubbish.
Honorable mentions normally go, but fair enough.
Yeah, well, just because he seems to be ranked high, like with so many people, I don't know. I don't really understand. Like,
yeah,
but you know. Maybe a fool or something, but you know, if like the draft network here says Jatavion Sanders showcases a dynamic tight end who thrives at making plays in the passing game, blah de blah de blah. You know, he's like, oh, he's all this. I don't know, I don't think he is, but
not for you,
he's not for me. And if he goes in the second round, then that is an awful pick, but maybe it'll happen.
Look out for that one. I'm going to be paying special attention to that name now in the draft. See where it goes. That's it then, boys. That's the end of our first preview for the draft. That is quarterbacks and tight ends done. Next time it will be running backs. Wide receivers are going to get their whole own episode because there's so many of them. According to I've been looking through the rankings and the mock drafts. There's quarterback. There's wide receivers absolutely everywhere.
It's a good year to need a receiver.
Yes. Where can people find us on the socials, Dave?
At @first10_.
Everywhere. Absolutely everywhere. Miles, where can we find you for more of your insights into the process?
Just one last comment. I think Cade Stover actually goes undrafted, but I think his tape is still quite fun. And that's just really going to annoy. That's why tight ends are so annoying, because I look at him and I'm like, I know he's not good, but I just like watching him. So,
Can I just jump in? There's just some free agency news as we're recording that is very relevant to Miles.
Yeah.
The Raiders have agreed to terms with quarterback Gardner Minshew on a 2-year deal.
Mate, see? My guy, what's the money saying?
It's literally about a minute ago for Raptors, no money on it, but
highest paid QB in the league, probably deserves it.
By the time this comes out, it'll probably be a couple of days after, but I thought I'd just jump
what
in.
What a competition in Las Vegas.
What a way to round out the quarterback episode.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Oh, my goodness.
Minshew versus O'Connell.
No, it's Minshew, mate. It's over. There's no versus anything. Minshew versus the AFC West. Minshew versus Mahomes. That's what we're talking about. Yeah.
I can still see Raiders kicking the tires on Fields if Fields gets no interest. It might be a three-way battle because I don't know how much they love Aiden O'Connell, but be interesting to see, because he's that Luke Getsky's there, isn't he? He's the OC from the Bears, so it wouldn't shock me if they still kick the tires on Fields and have like some sort of mess going on at the Raiders.
Very Raidery.
Yeah, very Raider-esque, to be fair, for them to do that.
I can't wait to see what Fields actually gets in return, yeah. Because I just don't see it being really anything. I think it's sort of going to be just a mid to late pick that, yeah, I don't know what he's going to get. I don't think it's going to be a lot, though.
I think he's fun. He's not very good, but he's fun, so I'll take him.
I really want him to be good, though. I want him to go somewhere and thrive, but I just don't think it's going to
happen. I still lose sleep over us not moving up for him. Like, it was there for the taking. And
oh, same. I loved him.
Mac Jones at 15 or Fields at, like, 12. Like, just do it. Like, oh, mate.
Yeah. So it might not have worked out, but it'd have been a lot more fun than the last
exactly. We would have actually enjoyed ourselves, like, you know.
Yeah, but they saw that flabby white boy and had just flashbacks of Tom Brady, didn't they?
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Yeah, it didn't quite work out. Yeah. Anyway, we'll be back next week or next time with the running backs and the wide receivers after that. So until then, boys, goodbye from me. Goodbye from Miles, Dave, and Ash, and we will see you next time.